You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
January the 27th, 2021, as you heard at the top of the news, Department of Homeland Security issuing a threat bulletin due to the potential for violence. Not from terrorists from outside, but they claim from extremists that still object to the presidential transition, those that hold anti-government views and are motivated by other false narratives. I got to tell you that this whole thing looks to me like another kabuki theater from this time the Biden administration saying, put this out there, make everybody kind of aware that we still have some Trump people out there that could get violent and stuff. And there may be some, just like there are Antifa on the left, but I don't hear them putting out a terrorist threat against them, and they're there repeatedly. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer insisting we will have an impeachment trial. Despite yesterday's vote showing that the chamber is far short of the 67 votes needed to convict him. Five Republicans joining all 50 Democrats. No surprise about those who did. Susan Collins of Maine, one of them, of course. And you could probably go through the list, come with the others. I lost interest in it. President Biden did apparently just sign executive orders on climate change. He said today is climate change at the White House, which means today is Jobs Day at the White House. Now, how do you justify that? How do you justify it's Jobs Day when it's climate change day and you've shut down the Keystone Pipeline and you're probably going to end up cutting fracking, although you insist you're not, and you've already killed oil leases on various lands, federal lands and waters? But it's Jobs Day. That is, if you can get one. West Virginia Attorney General said that Biden's climate policies, quote, are destructive, his words, destructive to the American economy. And yet here comes the president's climate advisor, Gina McCarthy, insisting the most exciting thing about this is we're not asking for sacrifice here. Oh, yeah, 11,000 jobs have been cut from the Keystone Project. That's 8,000 of them union jobs, $1.6 billion in gross wages, but we're not asking for sacrifice. As Biden had suggested before, if you're going to lose an oil job, get another job. Get another job that pays you that kind of. Good luck with that, assuming you're skilled for it anyway. And there's a new study. They came from researchers at the University of Kentucky, Indiana, and Washington University in St. Louis about Biden's push to raise the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. $15 an hour. Those study researchers found that the hiking the minimum wage, no surprise here, hurts the new entrants in the labor market. Yeah, those who are still just now trying to get a first job, you're not likely to be hired. They're going to keep people on at $15 an hour and know what they're doing. Why should they give someone a new chance? And some of those who were doing the job, they are going to have to lose their job because we can't pay all of you $15 an hour. The Biden administration considering implementing mandatory coronavirus testing if you board a U.S. flight for flight inside the U.S. You want to travel from here to Dallas? Or from L.A. to New York, you might have to undergo a mandatory coronavirus testing. Evidence proven. The liberal city of Chicago, under the mayor, Lori Lightfoot, who said, I want to open the schools. We need to get the schools open. The kids are hurting. Well, the teachers' union says, no, we're not going to. And the mayor says, well, this is a great disappointment. But, of course, the bottom line is, those 355,000 school students will just not be going to school because a teachers' union claims We're fearful, still feel fearful of COVID. Out of Florida comes the chief financial officer of Florida issuing a letter to the International Olympic Committee saying, why don't you think about moving the 2021 Olympics from Tokyo to Florida? It's a good try. We'll see what happens. And the president, the former assistant press secretary in President Obama's White House, Ben LeBolt's looking at what's happening in San Francisco. The school board voting 6-1 to rename many schools because they have names like Washington, Lincoln, Jefferson, even Senator Dianne Feinstein, to rename them because they've done something in the past. They should be canceled. And he says, that's just another example of parody, and you know what you're doing.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, price $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Got me waking, bone man. Waking around the fire. I want a little rain or water. That you want that Jimmy Star, big boy. Can't you hear me when I call?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, they don't have the votes to convict. We had 45 people, 45 Republican senators, say that the whole charade is unconstitutional. So what does that mean? It means that impeachment, the trial, is dead on arrival.
Those are the words of Senator Rand Paul as he got a vote yesterday in the Senate on a point of order. The Kentucky Republican wanted this procedural vote in advance of, do we have a trial, a Senate trial on impeachment? And said basically, as a point of order, do we or do we not? Only five GOP senators, and they should take the R from their name for forever, supported placing Trump on trial. No surprise. They're longtime critics of Trump. Collins of Maine, Murkowski of Alaska, Sass of Nebraska, Toomey of Pennsylvania, and, oh yes, Romney of Utah. They voted along with 50 Democrats. So the final vote was 55 to 45. But as Rand Paul said, they do not have the number, obviously, to move forward. He said, well, 45 Republicans against holding a trial proves the point. This whole thing is moot. How are you going to do it? You don't even need to have it. The vote indicates it's over. It is, as he said, dead on arrival. And, of course, the whole issue about the constitutionality still exists. But aside from that, it's just how it's been done in the House. And when you look at how the House, and, of course, that is controlled by the Democrats, not as big of a margin as they used to have. Remember, this last election, they lost 10 seats. But they still have control of the House. And now they're, even though it's a 50-50 vote in the Senate, if you actually put people in the R, R, D column, And, of course, the I column for Bernie on the D side. Then it's supposedly 50-50 in the Senate. But I just told you five Republicans aren't so much Republicans anymore. But even if it holds 50-50, the deciding vote comes from the Vice President of the United States, who is, of course, a Democrat. But they don't have the votes to carry this out. And in the process of the House, when they went through the House, they did a slam dunk. Don't bother us with any facts. We simply are convinced that Trump is responsible for inciting the riot that happened at the Capitol January 6th. And here they are constantly blaming Trump supporters of being conspiracy theorists. Has anyone on the left, in the mainstream media or anywhere, have they come up with any quote on tape, not just made up out of thin air, that Trump said, let's go down there, attack the legislators, threaten them, break in, break things, steal, threaten them, and just go in there and cause a riot? No, he never said anything like that. His closing words for them were, all right, let's march down to the Capitol and let our voices be heard. But no violence, he said, no violence. But even as he was speaking, some of the violence was already taking place in the Capitol. But they still want to say, well, it's Trump's fault because he did say in advance of January 6th, we need a big rally January 6th to show legislators that we don't want this election stolen from us. And, of course, they say if you use that term, then if you don't believe the election was fair, then you're treasonous. Then it goes also for members of Congress, Senators Cruz and Hawley and others, and on the congressional side as well. If you don't think this was a fair election, then you must be a treasonous person. They had no problem arguing from the beginning that they didn't think Trump was a legitimate president, and they said it repeatedly. Maxine Waters did it over and over, but from the very first day the resist movement started, the protests started, they started looking for a way to get him out of office. They just could not believe that he won, and since then they've been looking for every way to make sure that no Republican would ever get elected again. That is, let's make D.C. a state, give them two senators, Puerto Rico, give them two senators. That'll be four more Democrat senators. Let's wipe out the Electoral College, or at least let's have the states rule that we will give our vote, our electoral votes, to the most popular vote getter. We won't care anymore about protecting smaller communities and less populous states and red states compared to the blue entrenched states we have in New York and California. And, of course, we'll pack the court if we need to. But no, when it came to the House, rushing through with their impeachment the other day, Senator Lindsey Graham says this was just a rush to judgment.
One thing you haven't talked about, I think we should spend more time talking about, is that the President of the United States was impeached in 50 hours without one witness being called, and he didn't have a lawyer. They never called a witness in the House. If there's an effort by the Democrats to call a single witness in the United States Senate, they had no record in the House. There will be a delay of this trial. There will be a Pandora's box being opened. We will want witnesses, and this thing will go on for weeks, if not months. So I'm hoping that we have a trial based on a stipulation of fact, not witnesses, and we get this behind us in about 3 days after we begin.
You hear what he's saying. He said, I'd like to have the trial over sooner than later, but if the Democrats want to call a witness, you're going to blow up the U.S. Senate. Those are his words in another quote. You're going to blow up the U.S. Senate if you try to call one witness. In other words, you bring a witness in, then we're going to bring a witness in. It's going to go back and forth, and go on. Where is the work of the people being done? What's being done to help with COVID, the relief and everything? Chuck Schumer, now majority leader in the Senate, has already said, well, that's a critical thing we want to do for the American people. Biden said it's a critical thing. But they've also both said, at least let me clarify that, Schumer has said, well, we will probably get to that COVID relief in maybe maybe the next month and a half or two. You told everybody we get in there, we're immediately going to get checks out, and we're going to help you. But now you want to tie the Senate up at least half a day for who knows how long to impeach Trump, who's already gone, which is the intent and purpose of impeachment. And Biden could step up and say, let's forget it. Let's move on. Let's get my bills enacted. Let's get the help to the people. But he's not doing it. Senator Graham said Biden has been, quote, a huge disappointment. It'd be simple for him to end the entire impeachment and say, be done with it, call it off. But he won't. He won't. So Senator Rand Paul says the circus will continue.
There will be a show, there will be a parade of partisanship, but the Democrats really will not be able to win. They will be able to play a partisan game that they wish to play, but it's all over. This shows that they don't have the votes to win, so they will just slog through this, and they will try to punish Republicans, but that's all this has ever been about. Not justice, it's about a partisan game where they don't want the election to be over.
And again, with his point of order vote yesterday, 45 GOP senators voted against having the impeachment. That means only 55, including the five Republicans joining the Democrats, they want it. That's not enough to carry it out. So it can't happen. But they're going to play the game anyway. So they're going to have the charade. They're going to go ahead and do it. And Lindsey Graham's already said, and if that includes calling witnesses, you're going to put everything in the government on a stop. The American people are not going to be helped. And yet Biden just the other day, according to CNN, that he was making a remark off camera during a CNN interview and basically saying, I don't think we have the votes, or talking about the Democrats have the votes to carry it out. He said, I think it is going to be a waste of time, but also adding, but I think it has to be done. Why does it have to be done? Why does it have to be done? What, to show that you can, again, attack Trump and Trump supporters? What is it going to accomplish at that point? Name me one thing it accomplishes. It can even be a negative thing. Negative thing like we don't get to work on things that people need right now, the people that are suffering from COVID and getting the money out because jobs have been cut. And now with Biden signing off to kill the pipeline, Keystone Pipeline, there are going to be more folks. But Biden says, I think it has to happen. In fact, he was also quoted as saying, there'd be a worse effect if there isn't one. There's going to be a worse effect than ignoring the American people when they need it right now. They don't have the jobs. That's going to be a worse effect. Senator Ted Cruz said, if you really want to examine what's behind this, and it's not hard for any of us to understand, but Senator Cruz really sums it up in a pretty succinct way. His remarks last night on Hannity's program.
This is not driven by the needs of the country. This is not driven by trying to help out the people who are hurting back home. This is driven really by the partisan rage and the partisan anger the Democrats feel. They hate Donald J. Trump, and they're engaging in an act that I think is petty. I think it is retribution. I think it is vindictive, and I think it's a waste of time. And so to coin a phrase, I think it's time to move on. It's time to move on and focus on helping people get back to work, helping people beat this global pandemic, bringing America back to where we should be, not these partisan games the Democrats are playing.
Yep, that's right, but they want to play the games. Reindeer games, partisan Democrat games, they want to play the game. Senator Chuck Schumer. I've heard some of my Republican colleagues argue that this trial would be unconstitutional because Donald Trump is no longer in office. He says that's an argument that's been roundly repudiated. Yeah, it depends on who you talk about. Yeah, you'll find those that will speak against it. He said it makes no sense whatsoever that a president or any official could commit a heinous crime. Did Trump lead anybody inside the Capitol into breaking and attacking? Did he? I'm sure there's got to be some video somewhere they did that, right? No? Oh. Well, you just want to say his words sparked them? Did he say anything that you got on tape that says, let's go down there and riot and threaten and attack police? Did you, anywhere? Anywhere? Mueller, anywhere? No, it doesn't exist. And they don't care because, as you heard Senator Cruz said, they hate Trump. They're engaging in an act that's vindictive and a waste of time. It's all partisan rage and anger. Now, on the other side of that, what did Biden say at his inauguration? What did he say about bringing the country together and standing up and saying that, you know, this is a time for us to pull together? We got this COVID pandemic. We've got job issues. People are hurting. This is time for us to focus on what's really important. Isn't that what he said? Yes, Larry, that's what he said. Thanks for answering me. I appreciate it. Well, Senator Cruz and Senator Rand Paul have some remarks about the, quote, Biden leadership, end quote. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know, last week I was sitting out of the back of the Capitol, and I listened to Joe Biden give his inauguration speech. And I actually thought it was a good speech. I was glad to hear him make a call for unity, to say the country should come together. But unfortunately, congressional Democrats apparently weren't listening to a word he said, because the very first step they took after hearing an impassioned plea for unity is to charge down the road of a partisan, divisive, angry impeachment trial.
That is, again, the statement from Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas. And you heard him say, I watched Joe Biden the date of his inauguration. I listened to his speech. I'll even give him points that it was a good speech. He's not going as far as Chris Wallace, who said, it's the best presidential speech I've ever heard. I have no idea what Chris Wallace must have been drinking that day while he's watching the speech. It was a good speech in the sense that it sounded sensible, even from a guy that's going to have to be beholden to the left, but it wasn't the best speech ever a president has given at the inauguration. No, I'm not saying Trump made the best speech either. I'd look to Reagan and JFK and a couple others, but I mean, you know, certainly not Biden. But the bottom line is he was pushing and talking about coming together. He is now the president. Is he going to show leadership? If he says it, is he going to act on it? Or how do you tell if Biden is lying, his lips are moving? Is that what we're going to be seeing going forward? Is Biden going to be a leader, or is he going to stand to the side as the left runs rampant over the rest of the nation? And Senator Rand Paul, who's also says this impeachment is a farce, he said, where is the Biden leadership for unity?
President Biden says he wants to show unifying, he wants to unify the country, and yet what he's putting forward is one of the most divisive, partisan, rancorous, bitterest things that you could possibly do. And if Biden had been a statesman, he could have stepped up a week or two ago and said, you know, I think, you know, he's being published by public opinion, former President Trump, and I think we should not do the impeachment. It won't be good for the country. You know what? Biden's numbers would have shot up 20 points and people would say, oh, my goodness, for once somebody that can rise against partisanship. But Biden didn't show the strength of character to do that. He went along with the left-wing radicals.
Yeah, he went along, and he's going to go along with them. That's why he's, by executive order, been signing left and right all kinds of remarks and noting that what he wants to see happen, whatever they want, he will do. They don't want unity. They spell unity as you would spell uniformity. And that means fall in line. If you accept what we want, there will be unity. Because you will conform to what we want. Not unity, uniformity. And of course, the hypocrisy of the left is still in play. It's still in play. And they're going to use it all through this administration. You're going to find numerous cases of it. We've already caught them in some at this point. But here they are blaming Trump for what happened at the Capitol and ignoring how the left has sparked violence in the past, and actual violence that led to deaths. I mean, deaths. Murder, attempted murder of congressmen. But the left didn't get blamed by us or any leader on the left. You want the example? And you want more examples? I've got them for you. And in fact, I'll give you the credit to Senator Rand Paul as he listed some of them. And one of them, when you hear it, you'll remember, oh yeah, yeah, I remember that. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
All my friends, I'm a low rider. The low rider.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You remember the Democrats said that the Republican plan for health care, back when we were debating Obamacare, they said it was get sick and then you die. Well, can you imagine having a sick child that may be dying and you're told that the Republicans want your child to die? That sounds an incitement to violence. And guess what? One of Bernie Sanders' supporters came to the ball field, nearly killed Steve Scalise, wounded three or four others, shot one of the staff members 10 feet from me, and spewed 200 bullets and would have killed more had the police not stopped him. But nobody talked about impeaching Bernie Sanders. Maxine Waters has said, get up in their face. So is Cory Booker. Become a mob. We want you to mob them in restaurants and cause mayhem. That sounds like an incitement to violence, but nobody's talking about impeaching Maxine Waters. Nobody's talking about impeaching Bernie Sanders or Cory Booker for saying get up in their face. So it's a significant hypocrisy and double standard that they're putting forward, and they should be called out on it. We should not be shy about calling them out about their hypocrisy.
No, sir, we should not, and we should call it out each and every time, and I make a point of doing it. Again, the words of Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky, Republican. And that first case he pointed out, I mean, that would have been very easy to put at the feet of Bernie Sanders. And if by chance that Democrat representatives were on a ball field preparing for a ball game and playing around, and a guy showed up, as this guy did, and starts shooting and trying to kill them, but he had on a Trump hat or a Trump shirt or any kind of connection to Trump, that would again be used repeatedly, as all Trump supporters believe that this is the way things should be done. This one was a Bernie Sanders supporter. It got quickly documented. He's a Bernie Sanders supporter. Do I hold Bernie Sanders responsible, even if he had said that basically the Republicans want you children to die if they get sick because they're not going to help you? I mean, I would not hold Bernie Sanders responsible for somebody doing something like that. Now, if he said, go get a gun and take out as many congressmen as you can, yeah, those are words that you can pin something on. But if he talked about what's going to happen if the Democrats don't get to do what they want, that the Republicans are going to end up passing legislation that will mean your children will die because of their can't get the health care they need, that's a stretch. And I don't know of anyone. I don't know of anyone who said, blame Bernie for it. There might have been some who said it, but I mean, I don't know of anyone that said it of any value, and it has no value. And of course, you have many on the left that have said similar or worse things. Burn down the White House, grab the Trump kids, the youngest one, and turn them over to pedophiles. I mean, that kind of stuff, that's insightful. Whether or not someone carries it out, that's a kind of language that's threatening to the president's children. You can't have it two ways, though. That's the problem. Except for the Democrats, they can, and they do, and they will, because they get allowances. And if someone actually pins them down on it, they say, I made a mistake. Forgive me. And they do. They just kind of let it go by, don't bother, we're not gonna come after you again, we're just gonna ignore it. And the mainstream media will cover for them every time. And that's been the story in the past. It's going to get worse. I will tell you now, it is going to get worse over the next 4 years. Let me repeat again. I've said this previously, but I sincerely believe this. This program, and I'll say other programs like it, but I'm concerned about this one. This program is going to be more important in the next 4 years than I've been in the last four. Because previously you had the mainstream media basically just carrying the water for the Democrats, covering up some of their sins and telling their stories the way they want, and always attacking Trump. But going forward, they're either going to be on mute and not say anything, or they are going to become state-controlled media. Question yesterday at the White House press briefing, knowing that Biden had talked to Putin. Peter Ducey of ABC News, I'm sorry, Fox News asked, well, what did Biden talk to you about? What did he say? And Biden made some offhand remark. He said that he wanted to know what you're doing or something like that. And the reporters in the room kind of laughed. Well, you can laugh to an extent, but that's not the way it would have been played if a question had been asked by Jim Acosta Trump. And they'd be screaming and shouting at what exactly said. I mean, we want to know. They didn't bother. They just kind of let it go. And then you got the examples of how Andrew Cuomo's been treated during the pandemic. Andrew Cuomo, who by his order told nursing homes in his state, you have to take and keep COVID-19 elderly patients. If they get sent to the hospital should send them back and you keep them in your nursing homes. And to my knowledge, while there's been a request as to how many actually have died in those nursing homes, there has been no verification or information from the state of New York. There was a report from the Associated Press back late last summer that at that time had documented 6,600 deaths. That's what they're saying. And Cuomo later did turn around and reverse his order in May after his March decision with a directive that required nursing homes to accept COVID-positive patients released from the hospitals. In May, he changed it. And then Cuomo, in an interview with CNN and MSNBC, what was a friendly interview because they're not going to challenge him that much. He was asked about, what have you learned about COVID and the public? Listen to this answer, please.
What I've found all through this crisis is people value the truth. You know, give me the information. Mm-hmm. Don't give me spin. Give me facts that don't change. Tell me the truth. The country hadn't bought enough dosages. They now are going to buy enough dosages. It's 600 million. It will take 6 months. That's the truth. And until we get there, we have to watch these new strains. And that's the truth. So it is going to be a long 6 months, especially after what we've gone mm-hmm. through. That is the truth.
That is the truth. And the other day he said, we need to open up New York or we won't have anything to open up. But he and Bill de Blasio still say we cannot open up indoor dining in New York City. Go sit in a tent with a heater and they'll drop the drapes and that's not inside? Well, it's not inside the building, Larry, so it's not considered inside. Oh, okay. That really makes sense. And tell them the truth like his brother did, that he spent all of his time down in his basement when he had COVID to keep his family safe. And then Cuomo, in this interview with MSNBC, Nicole Wallace, started talking about, I'm proud of what New Yorkers have done. We've done better than anyone else. And he said, you want more of the truth? You want more of the truth? I'll tell you the truth. Andrew Cuomo.
Incompetent government kills people. Incompetent government kills people. More people died than needed to die in COVID. That's the truth.
Does that mean your nursing homes? What about that? I want you to think about it, and we'll hear from him again. But just think about that. Does he mean that incompetent government like he was doing? No, it's all got to be Trump. 400,000+ deaths, and they all have to be at the foot of Donald Trump. Even though Trump stopped the flights first and got chastised and been called racist when he stopped the flights, and even Fauci says not necessary, and it's not going to be a big deal for us. Who's incompetent again, Cuomo?
Incompetent government kills people. Incompetent government kills people. More people died than needed to die in COVID. That's the truth.
Well, there are many who saw their in-laws die of the virus because they were in New York nursing homes in basically a petri dish of death. Would that be incompetent government, sir? Democrat government? Oh, maybe it's the same thing. So you want to learn to say the Pledge of Allegiance, or you think you already know it, or you don't care? Here's a test for you coming up. And a California city councilman, L.A. councilman, failed.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
You ain't nothing but a hound. Been snooping around the door. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Been snooping around the door. You can wag your tail, but I ain't gonna feed you no more.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
De Leon, can you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this morning?
Thank you very much, Madam President. It would be an honor. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. For which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oof. I blew that. That is an L.A. City Councilman, Democrat, Kevin De Leon. He was asked by the council president, they're doing this Zoom thing because they're not all together, and would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Now stop it right there. I have to admit, I was totally surprised. The L.A. City Council begins its meetings with the Pledge of Allegiance? Wow, I have to admit, I'm impressed. I did not think they would, but they do. But many apparently just don't know the pledge or haven't said it so long they forget it. Now, listen, something like that, I've known professional singers. A song they've done forever, they get up there, and even something like the national anthem, and they forget a word. I can understand that. So on one hand, you can make fun, but on the other hand, you think, well, that's better him than me, because I might have made a mistake. Let's listen to it one more time, trying to keep in mind that, well, he was anxious to do it, but then realized, I don't know what it is. I'm wondering if he's searching on Google what the words are. Listen.
De Leon, can you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this morning?
Thank you very much, Madam President. It would be an honor. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. For which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I can tell in the background I'm hearing someone trying to tell him the words. What he said, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, undervisible. Starts again, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Whew. It should read, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now, I have to admit to you, in reading that at that point, that's probably the first time I've actually stated the words to the pledge in several years. I just haven't had an occasion to actually say them. I'm willing to accept that even if you knew them by heart, that suddenly your brain goes south. You just don't have anything operating. It's never happened to me, but I understand it happens to people sometimes. Quentin, quit laughing in there. They can hear your laughter through that. Quentin's in there just shaking. I laughed, pointing at me. You never made a mistake. You got it on tape? No, never mind. You probably do. Forget it. Let's don't do that. But I'm going to try to give the L.A. City Councilman a little bit of a pass. But I am surprised that they're even doing it, the L.A. City Council. I pointed out earlier to you in news and commentary what they're doing in San Fran. They had that 6-1 board vote yesterday to start striking names from some of the schools around San Fran of people that have been linked to either being slave owners or the controversial because they oppressed people or maybe they defended a Confederate flag, such as Senator Dianne Feinstein. A Confederate flag was outside San Fran City Hall when she was the mayor in 1986. It got damaged. She put it back up. When it was pulled down again, she didn't bother replacing it then. So based on those actions, schools named after Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat, California, in the San Fran area, will be among the one-third or 44 San Fran schools that will be renamed. Of course, you got to strike Washington and Jefferson. They were slave owners. You got to strike Lincoln. He ended slavery, but he also helped join to oppress indigenous people. Others on the list, Francis Scott Key, who wrote the words to the national anthem. Former Presidents McKinley, Garfield, Monroe, Herbert Hoover, Paul Revere. Schools named after any of those, the names are being changed. Changed to what? Doesn't really matter. Doesn't really matter. Maybe they just go with numbers, like they do in New York for the most part. No, this cancel culture wants to wipe out everything. Just replacing signage apparently is going to cost more than $400,000. Could go up to $1 million because the schools would need new activity uniforms, repaint gym floors, so forth and so on. But it's all for the better of the cancel culture, right? Right. As always, I appreciate you joining us. You can follow me at Twitter, at Larry Connors USA Twitter, on Parler when it opens up again, and other sources as well. In the meantime, remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.